You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Man, 2020 has been a sports season unlike any other. That's why you need a sports book unlike any other. My Bookie. Get some skin in the game where odds boosts, lightning deals, and free bets await you all season long. These are the sizzle that go with the steak of having a reliable place to put a little bit of money down, or maybe a lot of money down, on your favorite sport. My Bookie. Turkey Day is coming. There is no better time to feast on your NFL college football action. Whether you're a first-time customer or if you've been playing with MyBookie for years, there's no shortage of value to be found in their thousands of game lines, unique prop bets, and more. Sign up today for the first time or get reloaded. Find your edge and make some money. They also boast a fully-fledged casino platform, giving you access to all the classic table, slot, and card games you'd expect to find at your local casino. The best part is MyBookie never closes, and there's no smoke getting in your eyes. Make the right play, sign up today, and when you do, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and get your deposit matched halfway, all the way up to $1,000. The terms are simple. You put $200 in, they'll match it with $100 of their own. So if you're planning to bet this coming fall, guess what? You're already ahead of the game. It's winning season at MyBookie, so come join in on the fun and win some cash while you're at it. Today on the ZabeCast, the NBA Supermax was supposed to help the small markets, but if anything, it's probably done the opposite. Andy Poland joins me. We take a loving look back at radio and asked, what happened? All that plus no needle, no airfare, a looming 2021 conundrum. Your high test, not street legal, 30-minute dose of pure me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Tuesday, November 24th, 2020. Thank you for downloading. You can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. I know. I'm still holding on to a Yahoo email address. I just don't like how Gmail does it, and I never have. And I'm sticking with Yahoo. It's my pretty much one email to reach me at, and I do check it every day. And I try to respond to everybody as much as I can, but appreciate the feedback. This one, I love getting these emails from Jeff Dahl in Williamsburg, Virginia. Dear Zabe, I grew up in the Nova area, that'd be Northern Virginia, and enjoyed listening to you. When I was stationed in South Louisiana, I found your show on Fox Sports Radio, when they shifted to Stephen A. Smith, I wrote my first ever letter to a radio station telling them they made a huge mistake. Fast forward, I found your show when I was stationed in Green Bay and had a 60-mile commute to Sturgeon Bay in Door County, and it made my commute at least reasonable. I was born in South Dakota and raised a Vikings fan, forced to live in Green Bay. It was a great place to live as long as I never told anyone who I rooted for. I bought my son a Vikings sweatshirt that he insisted to wear to preschool where 40% of the kids were Packer kids. When I picked him up, his sweatshirt was turned inside out. It was during the NFL lockdown when I first moved to Green Bay and I decided to play pickup basketball at the YMCA. I ended up matched up with a guy who was about 2 inches shorter than me, but built like a brick shithouse. After the game, the guy told me, "Hey man, you matched up pretty well against me." Who was it? John Kuhn. Now living back in Virginia with my wife will ask me why I listen to a Packer station in the morning, you. It's that I love the podcast and the truth that you drop. Long story short, thank you for keeping things real. Keep telling the truth. I also enjoy the golf story. Sincerely, Jeff Dahl in Williamsburg, Virginia. I appreciate that. I would prefer if I could say one thing is to hedge telling the truth. I don't know what is truth. Truth is, you know, truth is subject to argument and debate. I tell it like I believe it, always. And if I change my mind on something I believe, I'll let you know, like my stance on Alex Smith. I don't stay stuck on stupid, as I like to say, for more than a hot minute. Here's another email. This is from my friend Robert Licari, my number one chowd from Boston, who was at Zabe Vegas 2018, and he writes the following. Science in the topic. Science, he says. Good morning, Mr. Zabin. Listening to your Washington show every day, I noticed that when you and the guys, especially Solly, refer to something regarding the coronavirus, you say the word science and you punch it up. And it reminds me of a song by Thomas Dolby of the same theme, She Blinded Me with Science. In the music video, a confused Thomas Dolby visits the home for deranged scientists to work out his problems. He is interviewed by the real English professor and noted scientific expert Dr. Magnus Pyle. The only thing Dr. Pyle says in the video is, "She blinded me with science." Or just the word, "Science!" By the way, this song bangs. This could be my banger of the day on the game. They'll hate me for it.
Science!
Yeah. Synthesizer. Anyhow, after the music video received heavy play on MTV, after all, this was 82, guess what happened? I missed it. Dr. Pyle became famous outside of the scientific community. He later regretted his notoriety, claiming that every day on the street, some young person would see him and yell, "Science!" and walk away. Dr. Pyle died in 1992, but his video performance lives on into eternity.
Blinded me with science.
Anyhow, please take it slow on your precious voice, Mr. Zabin, as I am one of the many thousands of people who want you to keep that voice, which you do have some control over, and your job, which you, of course, have little control over.
Science!
Thank you. I did not know that story. That's a good one, my man, Mr. Licari. Science. He became Dr. Magnus Pyle. All he did was yell, "Science!" All right, let's talk sports. Our man Andy Pollin is in the house. Once upon a time, this song was so well known and so synonymous with late night television, it's only appropriate that as faded and as hokey as it may be now, perhaps that's where our business, Andy Pollin, is headed. Good old radio. Terrestrial radio. Once upon a time, this was like, oh shit, Johnny Carson's on. This is going to be great. And now it's like, what is that song? Oh yeah, that was the old Tonight Show song.
Yeah.
More Johnny changes.
He walked away on his own terms and was able to do it his way. If you're making the comparison to radio, it's not that way. They're throwing people out.
I know.
Right.
I know.
People have been on for a long time. It's a totally different scenario than what we're talking about here.
I know. I told the listeners about Scott, who had been there at 980 for 27 years. He was kind of employee number two on air with you when you started the station.
I'll tell you, his story is very interesting, and it's very encouraging for anybody who wants to work hard enough to get an opportunity. He was working at the Cheesecake Factory as a waiter, and he would get off late, you know, restaurant would close 12, 1 o'clock, and he would listen to the overnight show. And he got to the point where he got up enough courage to start bringing them food. Leftover food or food that he would actually, I think, even buy at the Cheesecake Factory and deliver it. And one thing led to another, and somebody moved up or left or something, and he got an opportunity to be the producer of the overnight show. And he did that and was good at that and was good at everything else he tried, was willing to do anything, and had managed to stay for 27 years by, well, you know better than anybody, yeah, being that guy, you know?
Yeah. He was assistant PD at the station, yeah, and would spend hours and hours managing schedules and calling affiliates of our play-by-play properties, Virginia Tech football, Maryland basketball, and all this other stuff, in addition to doing on-air updates, being a wingman to me on the radio show and more. Did that with nary a peep.
Yeah.
But the problem is he did it for four administrations ago and three ownership groups ago. So as long as stations keep getting flipped and sold to other people, the new people don't give a shit about all that.
Right.
They should. They should, because they should come in and go, all right, we just acquired 980. Let's talk to some people and find out who is really valued here. But they don't even do that anymore, do they?
No, they just look at the bottom line. The bean counters have taken over, and that's
I know.
That's the way it works.
So I just got done today on a Monday doing a solo show with me and Solly. And look, I like Solly. He's a weird bird, but I love that about him. Was never intended to be a number two voice, and he essentially is now for the 3 hours in the afternoon. And all I could think about was, man, when it was you, me, and a third guest on the sports reporters, and we had a full-time producer. We might have even had a phone screener at one point. I can't remember if we had a second guy behind the glass. Do you remember if we ever did?
I think at one point we did have two producers. I think when we started, we called them the Marx Brothers. Mark Stern was one of them, and Mark
Weber.
Mark Weber,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it reminds me of back, remember, you know, airplanes used to have like a third pilot in the back behind the two pilots up front that was running the engineering for the airplane. Things get watered down and they get less and less. But I just think back to those days and say, man, doing afternoons was a breeze. And by the way, you and I did 2 hours. That's it. Remember?
Yes.
Two hours, five to seven.
You know the reason why, don't you?
Tony Kornheiser.
No, it was John Thompson who was told.
Are you sure?
He was told when he was hired by Bennett Zier that the 4 o'clock hour is the most important radio. We could have easily backed him up 2 hours, and because I think we had like a network show or something, and we could have done 4 to 7, which I always wanted to do. But Thompson said, nope, they told me 4 to 5 was the most important, so I'm not leaving that.
Wow. I know. Didn't Coach get – he had 2 hours, right? 2 to 4?
Yeah.
And was frequently
two
late.
Two to five, I think.
Three to five. Three to five, not 2 to 4, yeah.
Yeah.
And noon to 3 was Smokin' Al Kokin and Doc Walker, right?
No, I thought they worked with Thompson. And see the way I remember it was, I think we were carrying like Dan Patrick or some, you know, some network show.
I need to spend Thanksgiving break trying to go back and remembering the year by year of the lineup at the station. But anyway, and then in the 2-hour show from 5 to 7, we had Kornheiser for one call-in segment, so that took a chunk away.
Right.
That was a fucking breeze, that job was back then.
Well, you know.
Now I've got to labor to have an opinion on whether John fucking Wall should be traded or not as a Wizard. You know my take on that? Fuck him. Trade him if you can. Look at the contract. Good luck.
Exactly. Well, you got to trade him for an equal contract.
Yeah. And that's the Westbrook. And that's the end of my take. And that took all of 7 seconds, Andy. That leaves me with just 44 minutes and 53 seconds left to fucking slap my gums together.
See, this is what people don't understand who don't do radio, that you have this big blank canvas. And most radio shows are 4 hours. You know, usually you have a co-host or some other people involved, but some people do 4 hours alone. So you can't just have the take that you just had on John Wall. You can have that in terms of total content, but
yes.
But guys like Mike Francesa in the later years would begin to repeat that take over and over and over again fill out the time. And that's the art of it, I guess.
And I mean, you could, if you're in certain cities, like Philadelphia is very heavy caller centric sports talk radio.
Right.
And they'll march them through one at a time. The hosts don't have to have any organized set pieces. They don't really work through big, complicated monologues. It's boom, crack the mic, Eagles lost, what's wrong, Carson Wentz, quick take or two. Let's go to Ed in Norristown, you're first up.
Right. Well, the fan, fan format for years is the host comes on, gives a monologue, gives his take on 4 or 5 different teams, and then the phones are open and you can call about anything. So that's, you know, the targeted caller segments that we did and I've pretty much done throughout the years I've done talk radio, it really doesn't exist there. You know, if one caller wants to follow up a call on the Mets, on the Nets, or some nonsense like that, you can do it. You can talk about the Devils if you want to. I mean, it's crazy.
And then the biggest wild card for our business, which is, I don't want to say it's dying, but it has seen better days, is the pandemic. If the pandemic permanently, Andy, disrupts commuting as a concept, that's big trouble because sports radio doesn't get listened to inside of homes or offices for the most part.
No, it's car listening. You're right. And that's what helped make these guys big stars in big cities because you're stuck in traffic. You know?
Right.
And
you were the one guy to listen to that had some spice and some verve and some takes on Phil Simms and his recent slump. So you listened to them on the radio and everyone listened because there is no internet. There's no blogs. There's no social media. Where else? ESPN was not even in the opinion business at all, except for half an hour on Sunday mornings with the sports reporters, no relation, in which they offered timid little opinions. No hot takes either on that 30 minutes of the sports reporters produced by Valerio Productions. It was just a little dollop of opinion. And then PTI with Tony and Mike and around the horn, and then it was off to the races where it's all opinion now on ESPN.
Yeah, but talk radio set the stage for that because, you know, Tony and Mike started in 2001. Mike and the Mad Dog began in 1989, so they had a decade jump on them. And I don't think they modeled their show after that, but their success doing talk radio where they would butt heads. Now, sometimes they would agree.
Right.
And often they would like go up the bat handle. You know, one guy would give one take and the other guy would give another and they were having the same opinion, but they were just adding on to the, you know, the total pile of that opinion.
Right.
And it worked well. I mean, they really, you know, had great chemistry. They didn't like each other for long periods of time. They didn't speak a word to each other off the air for a couple of years.
Right.
But they were killing it. I mean, they became rich and famous doing radio.
Now, it should be noted that sports radio in every city is not necessarily struggling. In particular, it's pretty bad in our city in D.C. because, and this is a point somebody else made to me, Dan Snyder has done more damage to sports radio in this town for one simple fact. The football team hasn't been shit in 20 years. Right. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I think sports radio goes as the NFL team in that city goes.
No question. New York is a little bit different in that it's a baseball town.
Correct.
And the Yankees drive the bus pretty much, the Mets to some extent. But, yeah, the NFL is king. It certainly is in Philadelphia. I mean, even like when the Phillies were winning World Series, Eagles matter, you know. It's not so much like you can – if you throw in a stinker of a season, it's okay. Like New England radio, Boston area, it's probably doing fine with the Patriots having a down year.
Sure.
But if you consistently do it, your fan base is just worn down, and it's hard to care. It's hard to get enough of an opinion up that really matters.
Right, because the NFL, as we've talked about, is the best episodic reality show ever created. Every week, something new crops up. There's new drama. There's twists and turns. There's injuries, as we saw this last week. We'll get to that in a second. And it is accessible to the casual fan because it requires how much commitment every week, Andy?
3 hours.
3 hours on a Sunday when you're ready to sit on the couch anyway.
And that's why I've always felt that NFL did so well in Washington, because it's white collar. People don't work 40 hours
right.
a week here. They work 60 or 70 hours a week. And that 3 hour window on Sunday fits in perfectly.
Yeah.
You can't stay up every night and watch a baseball game or basketball or hockey, but football just works.
So Dan Snyder has slaughtered the DC market in general, even though you're like, wait a minute, didn't the Caps win a Stanley Cup? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to tell you the sliver of fans that are hardcore hockey fans and want to hear about penalty kill shifts and power play opportunities? It's not much. And then, of course, the Nats won the World Series, but it was sort of a kamikaze run, which you were not really expecting it after a bunch of years of disappointment. So, and we're not quite the baseball town yet.
Not only that,
other cities are.
You never got the afterglow. Because the pandemic shut things down pretty quickly after they won. I mean, they wrapped it up at the end of October, and just as you're about to...
There was no spring victory lap. Yeah,
the spring
victory lap of let's do it again, which they would not have.
No, it never happened.
But the feel-good of it. Opening day the following year, which is important for champions, never happened.
Right. So. Nobody raised the banner. There's a lot of things that didn't happen.
Yeah, but there's that, and then I'm telling you, this name thing, Andy... is crushing interest in the team.
I don't know.
You don't believe it. I'm telling you. It's a stupid thing. The number of people, casual fans, that scoff when they see football team on the screen, it's not small. A lot of people laugh at it. We're the butt of the league's jokes. I have a hard time getting into this team. By the way, wouldn't it be funny if the Woofed Skins won the title? The NFC East. Do you think they've got a shot, by the way, in this 3-7 clusterfuck that's going on right now?
No, because I think the Giants are playing well. I think the Giants will probably win the division. And the Cowboys, by the way, have been very good the last couple of weeks. They had a chance to beat Pittsburgh, and they beat Minnesota yesterday.
True.
So, I think right now they're the third best team in the division.
Okay. Don't you like this Wolf team that is a nice team that plays pretty good and hard? And has Alex Smith playing decent football right now that, you know, against the appropriate opponents can win games?
Yeah, appropriate opponents. When you knock out the starting quarterback and the backup comes in and he looks
and
like
shits
just
the
stepped
bed.
Off. Yeah, looks like he just left the senior prom to play quarterback. Yeah, they look good against those guys. Yeah.
Jeff Driscoll was so bad. It's like, bro, do you even play quarterback? Was it Jeff Driscoll? Am I getting that right? The backup?
The guy yesterday for Cincinnati?
Yes. No, oh, Ryan no. Finley. Ryan Finley,
Ryan
not
Finley.
Jeff Driscoll. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, he looked, you know, he's sitting there holding the ball, and Ryan Kerrigan, who they let play like two plays a game, goes, oh, good, I'll sack him.
He was 3-for-10 for 30 yards and got sacked 4 times.
Right.
4 times in 14 dropbacks. absolutely embarrassed, turned the wrong way. It was so clear. And I mean, when I was watching Burrow, Andy, I was like, God damn, this kid's smooth. Yeah. This kid is good. He's big.
Well,
he's got an arm.
He had all day to throw, too.
But he made little. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Little moves. He made step-up moves. He made side sachet moves. And now he's hurt. And I got a question for you. No matter all the NFL does to protect their million-dollar, billion-dollar assets, these quarterbacks, because it is a TV show about quarterbacks, trademark, that's my expression, they still can't protect them. Drew Brees has 11 broken ribs. 11. Right. They can't protect them. What is the league going to do in a quarterback-centric world when they can't protect their own guys?
I don't know, but how long have we been talking about this? Tom Brady's knee went out in 2008, right?
Yeah.
And they made some rule changes since then, but, yeah, I mean, if you can tackle the quarterback, then they're going to get it. Plus, the running quarterback is here to stay for a while.
I'd say the nimble quarterback. A running quarterback implies design runs downfield a la Lamar Jackson.
Okay, but you've got to be able to run. And very, you know, you can be an old salt like Breeze and Brady and get by on your brains. And Alex Smith is doing that to a large degree because he's got one leg. But you have to be able to run. And if you run, you're going to get hit. So I don't see it getting any better.
But Burrow was not running. He was standing.
And he got hit, and
he went down.
And that's what happens, that the quarterbacks go down. Teddy Bridgewater got hurt in practice. You know, it just happens. Nothing you can do.
Yeah. As Al Davis once said, the other team's quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard in the first 5 minutes of the game. Yep. All right. I think the Wolf is a little frisky. I'm kind of, by the way, I'm a Smithsonian now, as I've called myself, which is somebody who believes Alex Smith deserves the right to start until it's taken away from him. And I'm not opposed to him coming back next year at a reduced salary as the starter and having the coaching staff tell whoever they draft, here's the guy you got to beat. No complaining. Would you be in favor of Alex Smith coming back next year at a reduced price?
Yeah, I actually was talking about this with Bram today on the air, that I think that I wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago.
Neither would I.
If you listen to the other players, and by the way, I have an unbelievable man crush on Terry McLaurin.
Of course.
Do you listen to what he says in these news conferences?
He's sharp. He's smart.
Not only is he sharp, he's actually listening to the question, and he is giving you a thoughtful response to almost everything that's asked. That guy's going places. I mean,
he's great. Yeah. He needs a quality trigger man. No offense to Alex, and a good tight end or another good WR2 to take heat away from him. That's all.
Right. But the running game seems, you know, I like this kid, Antonio Gibson, and the way it works now with running backs is, you know, you use them up, you dispose them. You don't re-up them.
Harsh. But you're right. You're not wrong. It's harsh, but you're wrong.
I mean, poor Alfred Morris came in the league exactly the wrong time. And because he was a sixth-round pick, yep. never really made any money.
No.
But was productive for 3 years and yeah. still bouncing around.
Yeah, he is still bouncing around. So, yeah, on the McLaurin front, I don't know what it is. I mean, I know what it is about him, but it's he shines in his movements in a way that even a layperson can spot it. In other words, his quickness out of breaks, his precision running routes, and what really makes me hard as a football fan is his hand catching of everything. He right. doesn't let it get into his body. He will snatch it with his hands, like on the deep post he caught Sunday. As soon as Alex went back to throw it, and as soon as the camera panned left and I saw it was McLaurin, I came out of my chair. No lie. Because I knew he was going to make the catch. The DB was draped all over him. He high points the ball, hand catches the son of a bitch, and comes down with it, never a doubt. And I said, five finger, mwah, chef's kiss on that one.
Yeah, well, I'm giving like 30% credit to his on-field ability, which is great.
Oh, but and the off-field software is great. He is mature beyond his years, which is what I thought of Robert, and Robert was a complete tool bag.
No, but there were signs of phoniness with Robert, even when things were good. There's no sign of phony with this kid.
No, I agree. No, this kid is the real deal, and again, I want the team to be good. I want a really good trigger man so he can fully shine. I'm afraid he could be the Bradley Beal of the football team here in town. Speaking of which, can I go back and get your opinion on John Wall's now pissiness that he was mentioned in a trade rumor for Michael Westbrook? Ah, listen to me.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
If that's it, that's odd. I think it's deeper than that. I think he sees the clear handwriting on the wall that he's coming back. No pun intended. He's coming back to a team that's not his team anymore. This is Bradley Beal's team.
What is this? My team. Your team. He's coming off, 18 months of microfracture surgery to his knee, and he's already going to be limited to less than 40 minutes a game, says the GM.
What the fuck? No back-to-backs. Yeah.
Right. What do you want? A fucking poster that says, this is John Wall's team. What does that mean? It's not my team anymore. You can't play as much as you once did. It'll be a miracle if you're at 90% your effectiveness before.
What is it? He's got a contract which, says he's the guy, and he was the guy before Beal got here, and Beal was content, it seemed, to be the secondary player. But, since then, and Beal kind of surprised everybody by signing that extension. Like, maybe when Wall was hurt, he was thinking, well, that guy will be gone by the time I get back. And he's still here, and it's Beal's team. And he's not happy about that. So if they can make the Westbrook trade, I'd make it in a second, but I don't think Houston's going to do it straight up. They want a pick. They want a number one pick, and I don't think that's going
to
happen.
The thought of us having to send a fresh pick to take the garbage out of a bad contract. I'm not saying John Wall's garbage. I'm saying the contract is garbage. The thought of that is sickening beyond belief. And here we are as we're getting ready to start this next NBA season with – with Wall unhappy, and where is Ted? Where is the great Ted Leonsis? How come he can't manage his star players better, or his coaches in hockey, or anything?
Yeah, because he's one of those guys who tells you he's figured everything out, and he hasn't.
He hasn't figured out who to pay and who not to pay. He hasn't figured out how to massage and assuage the massive egos of guys making $43 million a year. That's John Wall's number right now.
I remember a dinner with him where he was explaining to us how the league was going to have a lockout, but they were going to come back with a salary cap, but they were going to grandfather in players, which made him in a great position because we have Jaromir Jagr. And Jagr is going to be grandfathered in. So while all these other teams are going to be hamstrung with salary caps, we won't be with him. Well, how did that work out? Yeah. Not too good.
I apologize. John Wall is only due to make $41 million this year. Mm-hmm. He will, however, by the time this Supermax deal is up, make $47 million in 2022-23 guaranteed money. You cannot stop that money from coming to him by hook or by crook, by incapacity or being drunk off his feet like Vin Baker once upon a time was. Holy shit. Yeah. Supermax. And yet it's not.
The cap's going down.
Yeah, go ahead.
Seller cap's going down too.
Right. And as that's happening, the concept of the Supermax, which was let's give the small market teams that drafted great players a chance to keep them, is also not working because Anthony Davis already sidestepped it and got out of New Orleans, and Giannis appears about ready to do the same in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, what they said when they made the contract was, well, it's too much money to walk away from.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
No, we're fighting. James Harden turned down $103 million over two.
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
It's almost like the more money the players are given, the easier it is for them to throw away $5 million off of a $45 million offer, because it's so far in the realm of monopoly money, it no longer seems real.
Yeah, and not only that, there is such fear of leaving the league without a title, as if, you know, like Charles Barkley's walking around with
a tin cup.
Asking people to help defray the cost of his life, you know. It happens.
Oh, God, it is so stupid. Hey, let me ask you about this fighting Reese Davis's controversy with Northwestern and ESPN. I'm going to set it up here for people. I talked about it on my radio shows, but I didn't get to it on the podcast yesterday. So apparently on Tuesday of last week on the ESPN College Football Playoff Preview Show, which, by the way, tonight on this Tuesday is the first rankings of the College Football Playoff, Reese Davis, capable, nice, quality, good-looking, middle-aged white man voice, asks Joey Galloway, former NFL player, former Buckeye, what he thought of Northwestern. Here's what he had to say.
How would that impact the way you looked at Northwestern as it pertains to a shot at a playoff spot?
I've been watching Northwestern play, and honestly, I mean, they got a bunch of Reese Davises out there running around.
Okay, let me stop right there. What in the hell does that even mean?
It probably means I'm a former professional athlete, and you're not. And so,
but he said Northwestern has a bunch of you out there. Isn't that a shot at their talent level?
Yeah, it is. And
but is
and
it accurate?
I don't think it's accurate.
No, they're Division I players.
Yeah. I mean, Pat Fitzgerald's a good coach. They've been to the Rose Bowl in the past. I mean, they can hit it right sometimes. And I heard they just spent a lot of money on their football facility.
Google if you can, Andy, the Northwestern football facility. It is on the edge of Lake Michigan. The campus is a few blocks inland in Chicago there, but the facility sits on this bluff overlooking Lake Michigan. It will take your breath away. You're like, whoa, that's Northwestern's. But here's the thing. I sense a little bit of, average white guy overachiever sort of vibe from Joey Galloway. I don't think he was overtly racist, and I'm not making a big deal of it, but sort of like, he said, I've been watching Northwestern. Well, then tell me something about him. And then he makes a trite joke that's not even funny. This passes for commentary these days.
Right, he probably hasn't been watching.
No, exactly.
In fact, the way you looked at Northwestern as it pertains to a shot at a playoff spot.
I've been watching Northwestern play, and honestly, I mean, they got a bunch of Reese Davises out there running around.
So at practice, Northwestern's, you know, social media team mic'd up the players, and they all started running with it.
Reese Davis. I hope they don't cut that.
Morning, Reese. Coach Reese.
Oh, my God. Reese Davis with the catch.
My name is Riley Reese Davis.
Not bad for a bunch of Reese Davises.
All I see is a bunch of Reese Davis. Head coach Reese Davis. Woo.
That's Reese Davis 1. Reese Davis 2.
The problem is, too, what I hate is Reese Davis is a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Nice catch, Reese. Way to go.
Because I'm looking at a bunch of bad Reese Davis.
And there you go right there. They shoved it up Wisconsin's tailpipe. And I don't know. It just – that's the best analysis we get, a bunch of Reese Davises. They were pissed off, though. Apparently, bulletin board material is still real.
It's real if it works. If you win the game, you say, "Oh, what they said fired us up." If you lose, it doesn't really matter.
What did you make of at the pro level, Tennessee and Baltimore getting snippy over a logo issue at midfield?
Right. I thought the other Harbaugh was the one who would get his ire up about that kind of stuff. You know, I didn't expect John Harbaugh to do that. And what happened? They got run over, didn't they?
They did. They were winning late, but then they couldn't get the MVP from last year to help them win the game. They had to settle for a field goal late, then lost in overtime.
Yeah, and Lamar Jackson has been saying some ridiculous things lately. Like,
has
you
he?
Know, yeah, he said they wanted it more than we did.
Oh boy.
He said 2 weeks ago, he said they knew all of our plays when we came to the line of scrimmage.
I did see that. Yeah.
He's a little bit loose-lipped there, I think.
All right, real quick before we're done today, the history of Thanksgiving, NFL football on Thanksgiving, and another edition of Cowboys Redskins on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Most of the country doesn't give a shit, but it's a cool tradition for us. Of course, it's the first year of Wooft versus the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. When did it start, and why did it start on Thanksgiving football?
It was Detroit that came up with the idea. They decided that they would play the Packers.
1960, am I thinking?
No, Detroit's further back, probably the 30s.
Whoa.
And, maybe as early as the 30s. And they started playing the Packers every year. And Lombardi eventually complained because, you know, why do we have to go to Detroit every Thanksgiving? That doesn't seem right. So they started rotating. And then the NFL said, I think this was 66, okay, let's do a doubleheader. Who's interested in hosting a game? And the Cowboys, who were always in front of everything, Tex Schramm was really smart about this stuff, said, we'll do it. We'll do it. And so Dallas became the second game. And it always worked out great for them because towards the end of the season, they would always have a nice lead in the division. They win the Thanksgiving game at home, and then they'd have 10 days off to rest up for the stretch run in the playoffs. And then teams started looking around, hey, how come Dallas gets the host every year? And that's the way it's gone. Now Washington and Dallas, it's a great rivalry, or at least supposed to be.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys have owned this. You know, they've played 9 times. And Washington's won only once in the entire 9 times they played on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's not a good trend right there. Do you think it's going to hold, by the way?
Yeah, I think so. I think Dallas is playing better. You know, aside from the RG3 performance in 2012, it's been misery. I mean, Clint Longley, you name it. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong in these games. So I think it continues.
All right, very good. Andy, a pleasure as always, my friend. Yours in radio, and we will talk next week.
Very good, Zabe. Thanks.
See you, bud. All right, we'll end on this today. Qantas Airline to mandate COVID-19 vaccine for international flights. This is going to be interesting as vaccines get rolled out for COVID-19 and how basically if you say, well, the government can't make me take no vaccine. And by the way, I don't want to take a vaccine for COVID-19. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. And I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but that's what I'll get smeared as, you know, because instead of engaging somebody with a debate on the merits, they'll just label you. Oh, you're an anti-vaxxer. Not at all. In fact, you know, I have a daughter with autism, and I have been through the ringer with people, including celebrities like Jenny McCarthy, who are convinced that vaccines cause autism. And I have done a good amount of the reading, and I've heard from people, and I've seen more doctors than you care to see, and I just don't believe that. So I'm not an anti-vaxxer. However, I am certainly against rushing to take a vaccine that has been rushed out in such a limited fashion for a disease that is proving now as the cases continue to multiply across the globe. And that's all the media is focusing on is the cases. The deaths are not following commensurate to the rise in cases. So what is that doing? That keeps melting down and melting down and melting down the actual lethality, the actual case fatality rate of this thing. And when it's all said and done, a year from now, I'll bet you anything, it's a tenth of 1%, if that. And much of that tenth of 1% happened early on in the pandemic when the virus plucked the low-hanging fruit of the much older and much more infirm out there in society that we didn't know how to protect. That's where it's going to come from. So anyway, back to these vaccines. Me and the boys that are going to Scotland in June this coming year, 2021, rescheduled from last year, July of 2020, I'm already looking ahead nervously going, what are they going to say we have to have? And if I say I'm not getting a vaccine, are they going to make me quarantine? Do I have to take extra days off just to go over there? Will I put my foot in the ground and say, you know what, I'm not going, and fold up the trip? One of my closest homeboys there, Scotty Shirey, medical sales medical device salesman to the stars. Dang, nailed it. He's already pretty much resigned himself to the fact that since he's in hospitals all the time, they're going to make him get a vaccine. He ain't wild about it, but he realizes I just might have to roll the dice on it. I'd rather not if I don't have to, but international travel, possibly. Now that's Qantas, which is Australian-based, and Australia still has a delusional view of the virus in which we're on an island, mate. We're going to keep it all forever. Oh, you are, huh? How many years are you going to keep that up? As the kids like to say, keep that same energy there, Australia. All right, that is a wrap for today. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of Zabecast Nation. Spread the word. And also rate and review. It helps with the algorithmic overlords. If you like what you hear and want to support me at an exorbitant cost of $5 a month, which comes out to even less when you buy an annual subscription, makes a perfect holiday gift, ding, ding, then you get it for even less, and I appreciate that very much. Either go to the Zabecast app on your app store or just go to zabe.com. You'll see how to sign up there. If you're still flummoxed, then I will let you know exactly how to sign up for premium. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. I say this week is officially done for productive work, and we will see you tomorrow. Man, 2020 has been a sports season unlike any other. That's why you need a sports book unlike any other. My Bookie. Get some skin in the game where odds boosts, lightning deals, and free bets await you all season long. These are the sizzle that go with the steak of having a reliable place to put a little bit of money down, or maybe a lot of money down, on your favorite sport. My Bookie. Turkey Day's coming. There is no better time to feast on your NFL college football action. Whether you're a first-time customer or if you've been playing with MyBookie for years, there's no shortage of value to be found, and there are thousands of game lines, unique prop bets, and more. Sign up today for the first time or get reloaded. Find your edge and make some money. They also boast a fully-fledged casino platform, giving you access to all the classic table, slot, and card games you'd expect to find at your local casino. The best part is MyBookie never closes, and there's no smoke getting in your eyes. Make the right play, sign up today, and when you do, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and get your deposit matched halfway, all the way up to $1,000. The terms are simple. You put $200 in, they'll match it with $100 of their own. So if you're planning to bet this coming fall, guess what? You're already ahead of the game. It's winning season at MyBookie, so come join in on the fun and win some cash while you're at it.